All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, and you never do. So I lift up my hands. So I lift up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for Him. With my arms stretched wide, 'cause I will worship you. I now offer all, I now offer all my life to you, a living sacrifice that is pleasing. So I lift up, so I
restore every heart that
Oh, come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. This is why you got a lion inside of those arms. Get up and praise the Lord.
To be with you. It's great to worship with you tonight. My name is Jill. I'm one of the community life pastors here and so glad to be with you this evening. If you are new or visiting, we want to extend a very special welcome. We're so glad you're with us. We have a new people's table out in the lobby with a free welcome gift, so be sure to stop by on your way out after service. And then we also have a connection card in your seat backs, and you can use that as a way to let us know that you're new. Drop that in the offering bags when they come around in just a moment, and one of our pastors would love to follow up with you. And then as always, we want to give a very special welcome to all those joining us online. And so if that's you, welcome, and we're glad that you're with us. We have a couple of announcements for us today. First, we want to let you know about our CA internship program, which is kicking back off this fall. If you have ever wondered if God might be calling you into ministry in the local church, if you've ever wondered what it looks like to do vocational ministry and work in the local church, then we would love to talk with you about the possibility of doing an internship with us. The internship program lasts from September through May. It's 10 hours a week. You'll get to serve with our CA staff, and you'll also be part of a weekly learning cohort meeting. So you can get more information and apply for that on our website, and applications are due on August 1st. We also want to let you know that we have a training coming up on Sunday, July 23rd. It's called Reaching the Unreached. God's heart is for people of all nations, tribes, and languages to come and know him. And so we want to invite you to come to this class, this training, as a way to learn more about how to respond to God's missionary heart for both missions locally and globally. So you can sign up and get more information on our website. And then finally, if you have made a decision to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you have not yet been baptized as a Christ follower, we want to invite you to take that next step and get baptized. We have our next baptism class coming up on Sunday, July 23rd at 1 p.m. It'll be in room 100, which is directly to my right and through that door and down the hallway. And then we will have baptisms happening on the weekend of August 12th and 13th. So you can get info and sign up for the baptism class on our website as well. Well, now is the time in our service where we have the opportunity to continue in our worship through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. And as we prepare our hearts, let me read to us what God's word says in Proverbs 3:9. It says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce." And so in just a moment, we'll pass the offering bags. As always, you can give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or on our website. If you're new or visiting, please feel no obligation to give. And to our Christian Assembly church family, thank you, as always, for your ongoing giving and generosity. Would you join me as we pray together? Father God, we love you so much. And even as we were just singing about, we worship you for who you are. God, you are so good. You are so faithful. You are so full of mercy. And we love you. And we thank you for who you are and all the blessings you've put in our lives, Lord. God, make us faithful to continue to tithe and give back to you out of the generosity with which you have given to us, Lord. And God, we also want to pray for the new teaching series that we're kicking off this weekend, Come and See. And God, we pray that you would move, that your Holy Spirit would move in mighty ways through this series, that those here who know you would come and see again and again, and that those here who don't know you or maybe investigating faith, Lord, would come and see you for the first time. But would you show us who you are and all that Jesus has done for us? So we love you, God. We pray all this in your great name, Jesus. Amen. The ushers can come forward.
Well, it's great to be with you, to all of my church family. Always love these times together. If you're joining us online, we're glad to have you. And any visitors, we are so honored that you would spend this time with us. Well, Lindsay and I attended a wedding last night. Always fun to go to a wedding. And like many of you, I've been to lots of weddings. I've officiated a lot of weddings and sat with brides and grooms as they planned weddings. And the big concern, one of the biggest concerns that every bride and groom always stresses over a little bit, is RSVPs. Who's coming? How many are we feeding? So invitations are a big deal. Invitations, they have even begun to become, they've become multi-step processes. Have you noticed this? Now there's a pre-invitation called Save the Date. It's your chance to get ready because we're going to invite you. And so if you save the date, then when that invitation comes, which, by the way, might come through the mail, or it might come by email, or it might come both ways. But when you get that invitation, if you've saved the date, it's easy. Then yes, you're coming. And if you didn't save the date, shame on you. And then you might, if you don't respond, though, you might even receive an invitation reminder. These brides and grooms are serious. Do you know how much this wedding is costing? Will you be there or not? Invitations can be stressful. Sometimes there's a lot riding on an invitation. And sometimes an invitation can even change a life, maybe even change the world. And so beginning this weekend and for the next few weeks, we're going to spend some time in this series, Come and See. And I want us to get equipped through this series with a biblical way of inviting that can change the world one invitation at a time. Christian Assembly is a growing church. And by the compelling grace of God, we will continue to grow in a city that is desperate for Jesus. In this new teaching series, it's not an effort to fill empty seats. The Spirit of God is already at work doing what He does. This series is a rallying cry to mobilize us in the direction that the Spirit of God is already moving. As we grow, now is the time to invite. Now is the time for us to participate in what God is already doing. And so I want to help us do that. I want to help us invite the way Jesus did. And we're going to begin this weekend looking at a story in the Bible that tells us how Jesus and his disciples began to change the world with a simple invitation. The verses are in your bulletin. They'll be on the screens as well, and I want you to follow along with me. But let me set up these verses, this story for us. For as long as the Hebrew people could remember, the people of Israel, as long as they could remember, prophets and kings and priests had spoken of a time when Almighty God, who created the heaven and the earth, would show up in creation. He would show up on a rescue mission, and this would happen through a Savior, the Messiah. And our Bibles testify to those prophecies becoming true and becoming real in the person of Jesus. The four books of what we call the Gospels in our Bibles give accounts of Jesus showing himself to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. God made flesh, moving into a neighborhood and being known by men and women of the first century. One of those gospel writers, whose name was John, he, like the other gospel writers, they tell of another guy named John, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had a unique task of preparing people to receive the Messiah. And so John the Baptist had amassed a following of people who were living with that expectation, so that once he recognized Jesus as the Messiah, John pointed him out for others to find. And that's where we pick up this story. In John chapter 1, verse 35, says, the following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples, two guys who were expecting the Messiah to arrive. And as Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, look, that's the one I've been telling you about. There's the Lamb of God, which was a description of the Messiah. And when John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Now, that's not like they became followers of Jesus. This is literally they began to walk behind him. This is like follow that cab, kind of following Jesus down the road. So verse 38 says, Jesus looked around and saw them following, and he asked this very spiritual question. What do you want? Now, what would you say? How would you reply? Here you are, one of John the Baptist's disciples. You're expecting the Messiah. He says, there he is, the Lamb of God. He points Jesus out. You start walking behind him. He turns around and says, what do you want? What are you going to say? Look at what they say. I find it very curious. They don't say, well, are you the Messiah? They say, Rabbi, where are you staying? What hotel could we find you at? We want to keep an eye on you. Well, here's our series title. Come and see, Jesus said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying. And they remained with him the rest of the day. Isn't that amazing? That's the beginning. That's the beginning of John's account of Jesus. Well, these two guys that followed Jesus, we didn't hear their names yet, but John is going to tell us, we know now who one of them is. Verse 40, Andrew was his name. Simon Peter's brother was one of these men who heard what John said and followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. He brought Simon. He brought his brother. That's literally like taking him by the arm and saying, "Stop what you're doing. No, no, you've got to come right now." And he brought his brother to Jesus. Now, when Jesus sees Simon, it says, looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. Then the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth!" exclaimed Nathanael. "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And look what Philip says to him. Jesus' words, "Come and see for yourself." As they approached, Jesus said, "Now here's a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." And Nathanael responds, "How do you know about me?" Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you. Nathanael, I came looking for you before you were looking for me." Then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you I'd seen you under the fig tree? You'll see greater things than this." Then he said, "I tell you the truth, you'll see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man." This is an allusion to Jacob's ladder in the Old Testament. This opening made a way made open by Jesus to heaven. And then that's where the chapter ends. But I noticed this actually for the very first time this when I was preparing this message. Look how chapter 2 begins. "The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration." In John's gospel, invitations are going out all over the place. Everybody's getting invited. And with all that Jesus could have done to reveal himself as the Savior of the world, he began like this. He began with a simple invitation. Something that seems small, but a lot can be riding on a simple invitation. Like the one Jesus spoke, "Come and see," an invitation might be the easiest or greatest difference you ever make in this world. And I want to tell you three reasons why that can be. Here's the first reason. Inviting like Jesus can change the world because, listen, what Jesus started with an invitation has not stopped. What Jesus started with an invitation has not stopped. Jesus invited Andrew to come and see. Andrew invited Simon to meet Jesus. Jesus invited Philip. Philip invited Nathanael to come and see. The next day, they're all invited to a wedding. And from that point in history up through today in 2023, nothing in this world has and is having a greater impact than the ongoing invitation to come and see, discover, and receive salvation through Jesus. What Jesus began is still happening. We make this more stressful and more complicated than it really is. In fact, if you or I were given the task to advise Jesus on how to achieve global and historical influence in this world, the likes of which the world has never known. I think we would probably advise Jesus to start out by identifying a market base, a target audience, an ideal platform for a well-crafted brand. We tell Jesus, you need to secure some major donors, some investors willing to fund your enterprise. Jesus, we'd recommend a logo and slogans, perhaps that are going to get at the early adopters first. We tell Jesus, you got to tweet, thread, blog, and podcast your message and get as many subscribers as you can. We'd stage some high-profile miracles. Jesus at a hospital. Jesus in a cemetery. Jesus on the Weather Channel calming a storm. Maybe right out of the gate, Jesus could descend from heaven with an army of angels. Then people would worship. Thank God he never asked for our advice. We would complicate it into oblivion. The hope of all the world showed up in a backwater town as a poor man of no reputation to tell how God so loves the world. His strategy was up close and personal. He called individuals by their names, knowing them, seeing them, healing their wounds, challenging their beliefs, and calling them friends. The grand strategy Jesus chose began with these three little words, come and see. And with that simple invitation, Jesus started changing the world one life at a time. The task is no different today. What Jesus began is still happening today through the same simple way of inviting, if we're willing to pass it on. We all know people who have no idea how much God loves them. People who don't know what God will do with them. We recognize it when we see it in others because we've seen it in ourselves. Before we knew the power of Jesus' love. And that's why we carry on the simple task of inviting like Jesus. 1,000 invitations spoken by moms and dads and teachers and friends and neighbors and co-workers. Come and see. Come and see. Just come and see. All over the world. Ever since those words were spoken by Jesus, that invitation has carried hope. It has carried grace and mercy and power and truth. And all of it can still be discovered one invitation at a time. What Jesus began has not stopped, and we carry it on by inviting like he did. That's the first reason that inviting like Jesus might be the easiest way that you change the world. Here's the second reason. When you invite the way Jesus invited, you're not responsible for the response. You're just responsible to make the invitation. You're not responsible for the response, just to make the invitation. Now, if your invitation sounds more like an insult than an invitation, if your invitation sounds like I'm better than you because I follow Jesus and you should too, you loser, then yeah, you probably are responsible for someone not wanting anything to do with Jesus. Likewise, if you tell people, oh, you'll get healthy and wealthy if you just go to church and learn the songs, then you're probably responsible for how they respond, and you'll be responsible for cleaning up the mess when they leave disappointed. But again, let's not make this complicated. If we will simply invite like Jesus did, just come and see, then how can we know what will happen? It is the work of the Holy Spirit to convince hearts and minds. We aren't responsible for the response. It's the church's responsibility just to keep inviting the way Jesus invited. Come and see. We have a great example of this in John's story that we read. These two men who ask Jesus, "Where are you staying?" And they both spend a day with him, but only one returns the next day. In fact, we don't know the other's name. We never find out who that was. We only know that Andrew came back after he had invited Simon to come with him. Jesus, when he saw only Andrew return, Jesus didn't beg and plead to find out who was that other guy, where did he go. He didn't give up when only Andrew returned. Jesus just went on inviting. And Andrew did the same. Jesus invited Philip, who then invited Nathanael. And Andrew, when he invited his brother Simon, he had no idea what would come of that. He had no idea that Simon would be called Peter and would go on to lead the early church. You're not responsible for the response. You cannot even know what the response will be. You cannot even know what God will do when we invite. We just go on inviting like Jesus did. We could go around this room and we could tell story after story of who invited us to church, who invited us to know God, to seek the Savior who was already seeking you. Don't overcomplicate the task of inviting someone to come and see for themselves who Jesus is and what he offers. Don't decide how people will respond before you invite them. Don't neglect making an invitation that could change someone's life simply because they might not respond the way you hope. Just go on inviting. And here's the third reason that inviting like Jesus might be the easiest or at least the greatest way you change the world. It's because some people are already looking for him. Some people you know are already looking for him. It seems this was the case in John's story with Philip, who invited Nathanael. And look at John 1:41. They both know the prophecies about the Messiah. They have both wondered, could it be possible that the Savior would appear in their lifetime? And it's almost like Philip says to Nathanael, "I've found the one we've been looking for." Some people are already looking for Jesus, even if they don't know it yet. The whole world is looking for a cause. The whole world is looking for a reason to live. We want our lives to make a difference. We want our choices to matter. There's a huge fascination in our society with superheroes. Have you noticed that? That Marvel thing is just massive, and it seems to never end. And always at least one superhero movie's coming to a theater near you. They all have the same basic premise. The world is under attack and needs a Savior with power the world doesn't have. And often the best part of these films is when the ordinary man or woman gets to somehow participate with the superhero to save the day. People love these stories. We wonder if anything of a hero can be found in us. Can we save the planet? Or at least the turtles? Or at least the orcas, maybe. Or whatever the next well-marketed risk might be. Can we make the world a better place, one paper straw at a time? If we can each be just a little more patient, a little more generous, a little more kind, a little more brave, if we can try a little bit harder just to be better or smarter, if we can recycle a little more, if we can fill our gas tanks a little less, then maybe the world will be a little bit better for a little while. Maybe our desire to find a cause worth shouting about is because we were meant to shout the good news of salvation and glory and power that belongs to our God. Jesus came to make all things new. To all who accept Him and believe in Him, they are reborn, the Bible says, for a new and living way. It's what people are longing for and searching for. Maybe the fascination with superheroes is an indication that we know we need a Savior who is real, with real power to rescue and mend broken lives. A Savior with the power to make the world different, to make humanity different, to make me different. Different, to make you different. People today, at all times, are looking, searching for an influencer worth following, a leader worth trusting. Neither his hometown or his birthplace was a showplace. Yet he left the majesty of heaven for us and for our salvation. He never built a palace. Yet through Him and by Him all things were made. He never wrote a book, yet His words endure forever and are distinguished in red letter. He never marched in battle, and yet He already won the war for your soul and mine. He was never wealthy with earthly treasures, yet the riches of His grace and His power never run out. He never got elected to anything, and yet He is worthy of praise from everything that has breath. Buddha, Muhammad, Gandhi, Mandela, Mao, kings, priests, presidents, popes, whatever, cannot match Him. No one holds a candle to Jesus. He is still who the world is looking for. His message of salvation is still the greatest message of hope in the world today. His kingdom come and His will be done is still the greatest cause you and I can live for. And when we invite someone, just come and see to a weekend service or a life group or a Bible study or a conversation about our faith, the person we are inviting is already searching for what only Jesus can offer, even if they don't know it yet. And you and I get to say, come and see. There's a group of guys who are part of our church who get together over at the Rose Bowl to fly kites and radio-controlled planes. You've seen these guys out there? Some of those are some of our guys. It's fascinating to watch those things fly. And a few months ago, these guys were out there, and one of them, his name is Tim, noticed a woman nearby who seemed to be watching with curiosity. And so after striking up a conversation, Tim offered to let the woman experience holding the kite strings. And she was hesitant at first, but she did it. And she enjoyed it. And Tim let her borrow one of his kites. And pretty soon it became a regular pastime for her. Tim introduced her then to the rest of the group, the group of guys that he was gathered with from Christian Assembly out at the Rose Bowl. And he explained that they knew one another from church. One of the other guys in that group gave the woman Christian Assembly's address and service times and told her, "You're welcome to join us for a weekend service sometime." None of them knew if she would ever show up at church. But as the weeks went on, when they saw her at the Rose Bowl, Tim invited her to church again. Now, those guys didn't know that woman's whole story. None of them knew that she was fighting her way out of lonely isolation after the pandemic shut down. None of them knew that years ago, this woman had searched for a meaningful experience with Jesus, but had faced deep disappointment and a painful experience with a local church. None of them knew that she had resigned to believe that it was just probably easier to just try to seek Jesus alone, and that alone had become a hard place to live. None of them knew the deliberate courage that it took for her to engage in conversation that day at the Rose Bowl or to hold those kite strings. Tim and his group knew none of that when they simply invited this woman to church. That was about 3 months ago. And in those 3 months, she's been coming on the weekends. She took the partnership class. And it's already clear to those who know her that not only is there room for her here, but she also has made room in her heart for us. And God is completing the good work that He began in her. A simple invitation, come and see. Spoken to one person, it might be the easiest or greatest way you change the world. Alex, would you come and join me? Now, should we wait until there are more parking spots available? No. People can walk. People, when they make comments to me about the parking lot, I always think there are a lot of empty parking lots on Saturday night or Sunday morning or in LA. There's a reason why the lot is full. Should we wait until there are more seats available? No. We'll find a way. Church is not a building. Church is people gathering and living in faith and devotion to Jesus. And in my experience, and for those of you who've been around in this church long enough, know this, Christian Assembly has never outgrown God's ability to provide room for more people to gather for worship and lift up the name of Jesus in this city. We're not a perfect church, but we will always reach, stumble, lean, and keep walking upon the grace and truth of Jesus. In all its imperfections, and in all its striving to fulfill its purpose, there's nothing, nothing in all the world like the church. An assembly called together in Christ's name. There's nothing so diverse in every way as the church. There's no population or association more generous. There is no movement so universally concerned with the good of humanity. When a local church is operating at its best, it's a haven for us at our worst, where the confused and deceived find truth, where the guilty and ashamed find grace, where the rejected and neglected are loved, where the aimless find the way, the lost find where they belong, and the souls thirsty for God are quenched by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the church is. There's nothing like it in all the world. And that's what we invite others to experience with us. You cannot know all that the Holy Spirit of God wants to accomplish in the life of someone you simply invite. You don't even need to know the outcome. Just pass along Jesus' invitation to come and see. And if we will invite like Jesus, lives will get changed. Families will get changed. Generations will get changed. An invitation might be the easiest way you change the world. Let's pray for that. Oh Lord, thank you for finding each one of us. Thank you for knowing the depth of our need for you. Thank you for being so personal. I pray, Lord, that for every person in this place, that as we go on living this week, that your Spirit would overflow in our lives, so that all that we encounter would wonder and want to know who you are and what you offer. God, would you help us to lead lives with plenty of opportunity to speak that simple invitation, come and see. Thank you, Lord, for receiving us. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And together we say, amen.